Thank you, Mr. Miller. And again, thank you to all the panelists. I feel like this subject is, while you all have been studying it, is, as I said, a new day on supply chain analysis and impact as far as what we should be doing. And you all gave us some good ideas on that, some differences. Dr. Lewis, you were unabashed. Industrial policy, let's go. Definitely more analysis, Dr. Jarepi, and very direct things in the last two witnesses about what commerce should be doing specifically. So I want to pose my question, I think, Mr. Apalafia, to you and Mr. Taylor, and then just see whoever else wants to jump in. But this notion that we try to get at with USICA, somewhat about the supply chain, but really just about innovation. So if you're right, Mr. Apalafia, which I think you are right, that the critical, if there's 2 million people working in the United States in aerospace or the sector of semiconductors, and yet the innovation is happening at Mr. Taylor's level, or Mr. Taylor is seeing the world and knowing what needs to happen, how do we really get that input and that strategic involvement? How do they get their views on the table, I guess, is my point. So we now have two proposals, strengthening tech sectors and strengthening tech hubs. But how if, say, you have big parent companies who are just chasing the market, whether it's Intel chasing semiconductor markets or Boeing chasing international aviation markets, but yet the supply chain knows the next level of innovation that has to happen, how is it that we are going to drive the resources and innovation down to that level so that they can access that? So, Mr. Apalafia?
Yes, thank you for your question, Madam Chair. And it's true, I'm afraid the bigger companies at the top tend to drive the conversations and tend to have a bit more of a direct pipeline to the R&D centers within the federal government. Now, the good news is that thanks to some of the mega mergers we saw back over the past 15 or 20 years, a lot of the supply chain is concentrated in companies such as Raytheon Technologies, General Electric, Honeywell, and many others that have sort of become their own effective economic and business powerhouses. I would like to see greater coordination between these first tier contractors. But how do you get the smaller companies involved, the ones that are also quite critical to both innovation and production? And whether that happens through the auspices of trade groups such as the Aerospace Industries Association, or perhaps maybe just standing up other committees and organizations within, say, NASA's Commercial Aerospace Directorate, I think it's absolutely essential. And I think there's greater recognition in the government of the importance of these supplier companies. You know, one of the great saving aspects of this crisis has been the accelerated payment program by DOD, which has basically called for faster transfer of dollars from the primes to the suppliers. So I think that kind of greater awareness of the importance of the supply chain. But it's a very good question under what auspices that happens and how that happens. But I think it's essential.
Dr. Lewis, you called for a greater role in commerce playing, as you said, a more predictive role. What do you think we should do here? If the supply chain is identifying the innovation, but they're like Mr. Taylor, they're running their business every day. They don't have time. They know what needs to happen, but they're not in control of the supply chain.
Thank you, Chair Cantwell. I focus on the high-tech sector and on some of the innovation startups we have now spreading around the country. That's a really good sign. It used to be Silicon Valley. It's still Silicon Valley, New York, and Boston. But you're seeing research hubs spring up around the country, and that's where the bill can make a useful contribution. We have a strong innovation system. It's based on research universities, venture capital, and then entrepreneurs. Right? So those three elements are what produces innovation. They're really good at it. There's one dilemma, and this is a hard one. They follow the market. So if they think, they all want to be unicorns, the next billion-dollar company or the next Amazon. In talking to friends at the Defense Innovation Unit, which is DoD's effort to connect to the startup community, we're doing great on software. We're maybe lagging a little behind on hardware, and that's, I think, what one of the bill points out, the bill focuses on. So how do we get greater connectivity between the national innovation system and the industry? With my colleague here, Mr. Taylor, I'd agree, let the market do it, and then look for the places where the market isn't working. The market isn't working in a few places, and the bill does a good job of fixing that. But we can use both federal and private sector to make this work.
Mr. Taylor?
Chair Campbell, what I can relate it to, we are a small business, and therefore the overhead structure that it takes for innovative work, it gets limited. You're focusing what you have to do on materials and labor and the supply chain to produce the product and get it to the market. So we use the research university system, and many small businesses use that resource. I'm thinking my distinguished panelists from Duke University, I'm not sure what they have there at Mississippi State, which is just 30 minutes from us. There are some rules and regulations that are governed by the state of Mississippi. The Institute of Higher Learning, IHL, has a mandate that if an entity, say Taylor, wants to invest some capital in a research of something for product innovation, engaging the university, if faculty are involved, immediately if there's patentability coming from that research, because faculty involved, it stays at the university level. You know, I'm not sure about that. If an industry is willing to make the financial investment and lose the patent downside of that. So there's some play in the hand-in-hand of partnering with the university system, but that's something that could be improved in Mississippi.
Thank you. That is why I've held up this Rose Holman model, because they do not, they don't claim anything on the patent, and researchers, companies like you, just go right to them and say, help us solve this problem. And if that was more regional in various parts of the country, it would just be a ready-made asset. Senator Wicker.
Very good point, Madam.